If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 22, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 38. Luke 22, verses 1 through 38. God's people, hear now the word of the Lord, starting in verse 1. These are His words, and so give your full attention to them. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. The chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might put Him to death, for they were afraid of the people. And Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of the 12. And he went away and discussed with the chief priests and officers how he might betray Him to them. They were glad and agreed to give Him money. So He consented and began seeking a good opportunity to betray Him to them apart from the crowd. Then came the first day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, so that we may eat it." They said to Him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" And He said to them, "When you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters. And you shall say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large furnished upper room. Prepare it there." And they left and found everything just as He had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, He reclined at the table and the apostles with Him, and He said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." And when He had taken some bread and given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, He took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom He is betrayed." And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who was going to do this thing. And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. And He said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you. But the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones of judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." But He said to him, "Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death." And He said, "I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied three times that you know me." He said to them, "When I sent you out without money, belt, or and bag, and sandals, you did not lack anything, did you?" They said, "No, nothing." And He said to them, "But now, whoever has a money belt is to take it along, likewise also a bag, and whoever has no sword is to sell his coat and buy one. For I tell you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with transgressors, for that which refers to me has its fulfillment." They said, "Lord, look, here are two swords." And He said to them, "It is enough." And those are God's words as we have read God's word. Now we'll hear about that word, Here we see, if you go back to the beginning, the Jewish leaders, chiefs, priests, and the scribes are trying to plot to take Jesus, to put him to death. And you see that Judas, that Satan enters into Judas. And that is for the case, for the point of delivering Christ over to these Jewish leaders. Judas did this for 30 pieces of silver, we're told in another gospel. And at that time, it also shows, as the passage goes on, that it was time to celebrate the Passover. And so Jesus, with the 12, including Judas, went and celebrated the Passover. And as they celebrate the Passover, Jesus takes that time, as there's a great commonality between the Passover and the Lord's Supper. He takes that time of celebrating the Passover right before his death to institute the Lord's Supper and to give them these signs and seals of the covenant of grace, the new covenant. And so he gives them the bread and the cup. And it points, of course, to his body and his blood shed on the cross that will happen in just a matter of hours from this time. Christ also reveals the one who betrays him at the table, Judas. And then the disciples argue over which one of them is the greatest of the disciples. And Jesus exhorts them and communicates to them that it's the ones who are the greatest are the ones who humble themselves and are the servants, who serve others just as Christ was serving them. Verse 30, they are those who will eat and drink at his table and his kingdom, just like we will eat at that table and drink with him in the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's foretold and foreshadowed in every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And then Jesus warns Peter of his denying him three times. And you notice in verse 31, it says, Satan has demanded permission to sift you. You go back to when he did this to Judas, verse 3, Satan entered into Judas. It shows there that there is a difference about what Satan can do for the unbeliever, to the unbeliever, and to the Christian. For the unbeliever, Judas, who betrayed Jesus, Satan can enter and work through him and do all that he wants, in a sense, in accordance with God's will. But with Christians, with God's people, something to be reminded of, and about Satan, how he tempts us and how he attacks us. That Satan cannot enter us. He cannot enter us and then move us to do certain things. First, he has to, like he did with Job, he has to ask permission from the Lord. Second, you see that he has to, he can't enter us. He just can bring harm to us, in a sense. But not ultimate harm. Nothing past the permission of the Lord, just like in the case of Job chapter 1. And so that ought to give you comfort for the Christian. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit's not going to leave you or forsake you, like Romans 8 says. He's always with you, and God is always, by His Spirit, present with you to protect you even from the evil one. He gives you the armor of God, the very Word of God, as your armor. Well, Peter doesn't believe that he'll deny Christ. But Christ says to give him comfort in verse 32, that he's prayed for Peter. And Jesus prays for each and every one of us, Christians. That even when we sin, what does he say here? He says for Peter, when once you have turned again, that means when you sin and you deny me three times, once you come back and turn back to me, strengthen your brothers. And he does that. He is one of the most godly apostles or servants that we see, the visible ones. Peter was in writing the three letters that he writes and serving the church in a great way, especially in Jerusalem. And we are tasked with that as well. We know that Jesus prays for us. He's our mediator, so he prays for us, not ever ceasing to pray for us. And so we ought to strengthen one another. Even when we sin, we turn from that sin and we're strengthened to live a righteous life by Him. And in His righteousness, we ought to strengthen each other as well. And then Christ tells of his death and the fulfillment of a prophecy in verse 37. But we ought to be reminded here, especially with the Lord's Supper talked about here, about the death of Christ on the cross, that he gave his body, shed his blood for us, that we would have life in his name. And so you are to call here, as we'll hear again in a few moments, called here to come to him. Come to Christ. And he will save you, he will give you life, and he will give you rest in him. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for your love and your compassion, your mercy towards us. Even we see it here as you showed it towards Peter. Peter, who denied you openly 3 times, we know. You still showed mercy. You still prayed for him and your son. You still received him back. And you only received them back, we know, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful that you have given us this word today, about a comforting word about Satan. A comforting word about Satan, how we have that. And that he can't move us. He can't enter into us. All he can do is tempt us and try to tempt our conscience against you. Father, we pray that you would protect us by your Son and by your Spirit who lives within us, who is present in our hearts. We pray also that you would help us to grant understanding of this your word about the Lord's Supper, of how much we don't understand, because we really need to search the Scriptures more about all the foreshadowing. And we'll do that this morning in Exodus, of your death on the cross and how we need you. Father, we're thankful that your Son gave up his body and he gave and shed his blood, that he would be an atonement. He would make atonement for us. He would appease your wrath, because he received that wrath on the cross, and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is because our sin was placed upon him there. And Father, we believe that. We believe that he died for our sins, and we believe that he lived a perfect, righteous life without sin. And so grants us, credits to us, his righteousness, your righteousness, is now declared to be ours. And that also gives us great comfort. And Father, we pray this Lord's Day about how you are sending your judgments. Father, we pray that people would see your judgments, these little tiny judgments on this earth, and they would repent of their sins. They would turn to you. They would have godly Christians, hopefully like all of us here would be. And we would go out and we would say, look, you need to be saved. You need to turn from your sin lest you become destroyed and be judged for all eternity. We pray that we would be those who bear testimony of the gospel and the only hope in heaven and on earth for us is to believe in Christ and to believe in his name, the only name under heaven by which we must be saved. And Father, in these things, then we pray for those who were harmed this past Lord's Day evening in Las Vegas. We pray for those injured and those family members affected. Even those, we praise you for those who risked their lives to save people. We thank you for them. Father, we pray in all these things that you would heal those who have been affected, and yet we pray for their souls, that you would save them. You would see how much evil there is in this world, how much evil there is in our own hearts, that we are no different than that murderer, except by your grace. Father, we also pray for those affected by the hurricane today. Many churches have canceled worship today because of fear of harm from the hurricane. We pray that you would protect those people, especially your children, And we pray that being able to worship today would not seriously affect your church and those congregations, but that they would remember your grace, and they would perhaps even be able to listen to sermons on the internet, or be able to read some of your word and think upon you and rest upon you and not in the things of this world. Father, in these things we plead for your grace, for your mercy, because without you we have no hope. We pray for especially the righteous, that you would save them from these earthly judgments. And Father, we pray that you would save all our souls. There are some here we know, especially younger children, who don't know you, not professed faith in you. Father, we pray even for them that you would save them, that they would not know one day longer without Christ as their Savior. And Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers. We know that you do, because we pray knowing Christ is our intercessor, our advocate before you. In his name we pray. Amen.